Good afternoon, and welcome once again to Stage Talk, KSKA's weekly conversation about the performing arts. I'm Steve Hunt, your host once again on this Friday afternoon. Glad to have you along. Today we'll be talking about Anchorage Opera's latest offering, the opera called Glory Denied, written by Tom Chiappullo, based on a book by Tom Philpott about the life of Colonel, then Captain Jim Thompson, who was the longest-serving POW during the Vietnam War. My guests today are the stage director, Helena Bender. Welcome to the show, Helena.
Thank you.
We also have the conductor, Douglas Kinney Frost. Welcome to the show, Douglas.
Thank you.
I'm going to just toss this out to any one of you to answer this question. Give me an overall sort of background about what this opera is about. I mentioned this about Colonel Jim Thompson, the longest-serving POW in the Vietnam War. But it's much more than that, isn't it? Helena, I'm going to ask you.
So I could tell you what I believe it's about. I mean, if you look at the book and the opera, it's essentially about Captain Thompson's capture, his long torture and suffering as a POW for 9 years in captivity, and then his coming home, his return home to his family, and the result of that reunification with his family. But to me, it's not a Vietnam story. It's a universal story, a lot like Homer's Ulysses, but kind of in reverse, where in Ulysses, a soldier comes home and his wife is waiting happily, and they reunite. This soldier comes home to find a world completely turned upside down, and his wife has moved on. And in my view, the opera is about the effect of war on those who serve in it and those who support it and those who are opposed to it and those who are waiting for those who are serving to come home. So it's a story about all how war affects everyone. And that's what makes the opera so compelling to me, is that it isn't just a Vietnam story. It's a story about every family, every veteran, every POW, every person that's ever had to suffer through a war and try to get their life back.
And you mentioned something which I think is so important, that war is not about just the soldiers who fight. It's about the families who stay at home.
Right.
And his wife, 9 years is a long time to wait for someone to return, who she doesn't even know is alive or not.
Right. She doesn't know if he's dead or alive. And she actually she is pregnant with their fourth child when he goes to Vietnam. And she gives birth to their fourth and only son on the day he's captured. It's an unbelievable story. And he doesn't know that his child is born. She has these four kids. She doesn't know if he's alive. After about 6 months, she decides that she wants to have him declared dead. She moves on. But the opera really depicts her tribulations as well as his. And you see the toll it takes on her and her. So they're both prisoners in a way. And the opera depicts him as a young person and as a returning soldier, and her as the young wife that he leaves behind and romanticizes about, as well as the actual Alice waiting for him when he comes back.
One of the fascinating things about this production is it's done with four performers. And
right.
I want to get back to that in a moment here.
Yeah.
But let's go over to Douglas, who's the conductor of the music score. Talk to us a bit about the music. What kind of music is this that's driving the story?
Well, where, you know, I guess the industry, you'd say, thinks that opera is going based on bringing movies and great stage dramas into the 21st century, this piece does that with music. You know, if you talk about Mozart, you're talking about a certain sound. If you're talking about Verdi or Beethoven, you're talking about a certain sound. Composers now can use tension and release and tension and calm in a way that really makes for great storytelling. So you can apply the idea of him, You know, 5 years in prison, 4 months in a box that was 2 feet by 2 feet by 5 feet. And the intense beatings he received, all that gets mimicked in the orchestra. All that happens in the orchestra. And then the most beautiful Copland-esque Charles Ives pastoral moments when his mind conjures up his wife and what's happening at home. You know, there were three concepts that kept him going, we find in the book. One is wondering what's going on with his family and his wife back at home. Two, the patriotism of being there for his country. And then the last was his faith in God. And all three of those moments are those motives in his struggle are represented in the opera perfectly. There's a moment when he addresses his congregation, his church congregation, upon return. And it's certainly a spiritual moment when not only he speaks to his congregation, but really the country at large.
And to God.
And to God. And, you know, 9 years, imagine the political change. You know, 1964, he's captured. 1973, he returns. We've gone through how many administrations?
That was a big time of change anyway,
yeah,
wasn't it? I mean, good grief. That was a
crazy change.
That time, I mean, it's like waking up Sleepy Hollow almost. You know?
And when he came back, nobody wanted to say Vietnam. They didn't want to say the word. I was telling these guys when I said to my 80-year-old mother 3 years ago, I wanted to produce an opera about Vietnam. She rolled her eyes and said, oh, why Vietnam? Just because the concept brings up such political upheaval. And one of the hallmarks of the piece, which both Helene and I respect greatly, is that the piece is apolitical. It's about the life of these two people trying to resurrect the love they had at the beginning and then getting through this incredible time of indenturement.
Sounds fascinating. For those just tuning in, we're talking about Anchorage Opera's production of Glory Denied. This is Stage Talk. My guests are Helena Binder, the stage director, and Douglas Kinney Frost, the conductor. Douglas, you mentioned something a moment ago about how music has changed in operas these days to almost become more theatrical or movie-like. You know, in movies, the scores of the music really just underscore, pun intended, the feelings and the action going on. And Helena, you have actually, you're treating this very theatrically in your stage direction. Go with that.
I would say I'm treating it cinematically even. I felt that the story couldn't be depicted in a sort of realistic way. It had to be a more abstract way. And so I'm making use of concepts that would be considered theatrical, fade-ins and fade-outs, overlap. And the whole piece seemed like a dream to me. And so it was important to have the feeling, as we do in dreams, where all the characters, well, they say all the characters in your dreams are you, that they're all Captain Thompson, and it's his thought and the way we dream, things overlap and voices are heard from different places, and so I just didn't treat it realistically.
Well, imagine being in a prison for 9 years. It's the same kind of a thing. Your mind goes all over, and also being alone, not exactly alone, but without your spouse for
without
those 9 years.
Yes, yeah. And in many cases without anybody.
Right. And talk about a bit about the four performers are performing all the parts. How does that work?
So the opera is ingeniously written, I think, where the voices of the captors, his wife, his children, his fellow soldiers, his commanding officers, his friends, her friends, they're all in the book, and the four characters speak everyone's lines, in essence. So sometimes it's Captain Thompson actually speaking the words of his own captors to his younger self. And I chose to costume them all in green because in all my research and my reading, there was a lot of talk about green, the green of the big green machine of the army, the green of the landscape of Vietnam, the green of moldy bread in captivity. Green just kept coming up. And I felt that, as I mentioned, all these two people are both prisoners, and their younger selves, the older selves, They're all prisoners, so they're all barefoot. And it was important for me to not just have them speaking out to the audience, but speaking to one another, that the voices in his mind speak to one another. So we have conversations between the two Alices, conversations between the captain and his younger self, as I mentioned. Of course, conversations between the captain and his wife, but then also the captain speaking to his idealized version of his wife. It's just an amazing piece. Douglas, you can speak to some of that, the way the music overlaps. And
yeah, you know, great opera's about great storytelling. And regardless of the century in which the opera's written, you should be able to come into the theater, listen to the music, and tell the story. And that's one of the successes of this piece. You can hear the storytelling by the sheer sound of the orchestra, sheer sound of the voice. You know, opera gets a bad rap from the, you know, horns on your heads and breastplate shields and all that stuff.
I love it, the horns on your head.
Well, you know. And this could not be farther from that stereotype. Not that I think all of that is riveted in reality, too, those stereotypes. But for sure, this is about a theatrical moment. And it's about capturing the intimacy of these four characters, their lives, in this remarkable space that we're performing in. There's only, I think, 300 seats. So these fantastic singing actors are, you know, right on your lap. They're right in front of you. Few people in the orchestra, again, to relay the simplicity of the story and make it clear. So when you're sitting in the theater, you're really overwhelmed by all these emotions. And audiences around the country, when they've seen the piece, they find such an empathetic connection. Whether you have military in your family, whether you've been in a strange relationship, there are 100 ways to connect to this story because the empathy and the characters are so real.
You mentioned that before, that you did the show in Syracuse.
Yes.
And talk a bit about how the reaction was to from the military, especially, who saw the show.
Well, the reaction was surprised and moved, I think. Even the composer himself said to me, there were a lot of surprises for me, which I thought was great because I felt that there was something to be found there that maybe he himself didn't even see. And we have chose, one thing I didn't mention is that we're using video projection. And this was something that Douglas had said to me right in the very beginning when we talked about it. He said, I think this should be done with projections. And so the set is very simple, and there's a complex the projections, the slides become another character.
Well, I hate to cut you off. It sounds so fascinating, but we're about out of time. I want to take this opportunity to thank my guests, Helena Bender and Douglas Kenny Frost of Anchorage Opera's production of Glory Denied, opening tonight at the Sydney Lawrence Theater, a truly intimate theater, and running through Saturday, February the 18th. Thanks for being on the show, folks.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Until next time, this is Steve Hunt for Stage Talk and KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.